Amy, what's your favorite holiday movie?
Elf.
Elf?
How do you know that?
Interesting. What about you, Melissa?
I would have to ditto Elf. That's
ditto
one of
Elf.
Favorites.
That's Brian. Great.
Pulp Fiction.
That is not Christmas.
What?
Okay. Linda?
Die Hard.
Yeah, right.
It's a Wonderful Life, of course.
Awesome.
Pulp Fiction's not a holiday movie? Why are you laughing?
Christmas with the Cranks.
I'm confused.
That's a good one, Christmas with the Cranks. My favorite is Claws. I think is that what it's called? It's an animated movie, of course.
Oh.
It's been we've watched that the family last each of the last 2 years. And one of the cool things I like about that movie is that it's kind of the origin story, if you will, of Santa Claus, but it's as if Santa Claus was like a real person. You guys, do you know what movie I'm talking about? Look it up. It's on Netflix.
What do you mean, if he was a real person?
Isn't he real?
Yeah. Okay, Brian. Okay, Pulp Fiction.
Where he's an older gentleman, and he ends up starting to like make different toys.
Toys. Yeah, but it starts with like the postman.
To him.
There's like a mailman that gets sent to this like northern place.
Right.
But it's interesting to think about how the origins of... And obviously, it's all fictionalized. It's not real. But my point here is that today we're going to talk about how our strengths show up in the holidays and maybe give some insights to ourselves, to each other, about maybe how some of how we see ourselves in the non-holiday times are reflected for the better in the holiday times, that maybe could give us some insight on, you know, how we got to, you know, who we are today. So... who wants to go first? We're all gathered here, I should say, in the same room, Brian and Linda's basement. I'm sorry, Brian and Linda's professional recording studio.
Lower level.
We don't say basement. Here's our prompt that Linda gave us is strength in the holidays. How do our strengths show up during the holidays? What strengths of yours work together to help you navigate the holiday season? And some other kind of just things for us to think about. Good or bad stressors, any funny memories, maybe coping strategies, anything like that. Linda, what would you add to this little preamble?
No, I'm willing to go first.
Oh, that's what that meant. Okay, let's hear it.
The genesis of this question came from wondering, you know, people are at home. Sometimes there's time off during the holidays, depending on what field you might be in, and I thought there's times where strengths help us navigate. And so when I thought about the busyness of the holidays, good or bad, I started to think about my strengths of connectedness, individualization, and strategic. One of the things I do is I anticipate the holidays, how it's going to feel, who's going to be there in the different meals that we will share or places where we will give or receive presents. So for me, it's really, you know, it's kicked off by Thanksgiving, and then there's a putting up of the tree. One of the things that Brian and I share is a December birthday. So our birthdays are four days apart, and we share with Melissa too. So there's three of us of the five at Leadership Vision who have December birthdays. And so I think about the moments that we'll have or how we'll celebrate the life of the other. And I enjoy that. I think one of the things that my connectedness and strategic and individualization do is create memorable memories, to create some traditions that would be helpful. And one year I purchased some kind of ornament for Brian and our daughter and me. And on Christmas morning, they received this ornament. They were all the same. And they said, and I actually wrote on them, Christmas, whatever the year was, maybe 2015 or something. And then you were supposed to write a word or a wish for the year. And it's just, sometimes they've been funny. I think there was one time where Camila wanted to touch your hair. Was that it? It was actually like the Christmas wish. So what was fun was the next year we would take out these ornaments. We'd find the ones that kind of matched each other, and we would wonder which wishes we have manifested in the year. So it's kind of taking the joy or whatever we were thinking about a year ago and bringing it forward into the year, as well as then making a new wish for the coming year. So I'm excited about what our Christmas 2021 ornaments will be and what they will look like.
That's cool. I see a lot of that in like our engagements and our work with clients too, just in that creating that environment and wanting to make, you know, even a how the room is set up feel a certain way, so they're getting something out of it. So that's a consistent showing up of your strength.
Yes.
Intentionality, that's the word. Yeah.
So I enjoy it, and then other people do as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Who wants to go next?
Brian. I think I could, because I share the same holiday traditions with Linda.
Oh, that's good.
So I was going to start in one direction. Then as Linda was talking, I'm going to start in a different direction, because for me to enjoy the holiday seasons, and as Linda said, the Thanksgiving and birthdays and Christmas and New Year's, I really have to turn off my strength of futuristic. Because I have such a hard time being in the moment, that strength of futuristic is causing me to really look beyond and skip over the month of December to get the new year started. So for me, the holidays are really a way for me to get more grounded, settle down, think about finishing things. And it goes without saying that my strength of connectedness is really strong during this season, because it is a time of family, a time of gathering, a time of celebration. But I think the strengths that help me navigate are my strengths of intellection and competition. Like we give gifts to each other.
Seeing who gets the best present, is that your competition?
Kinda. Like, I really, like, this may sound interesting or not, or whatever, you can just hit the skip 15 seconds forward if you want to. But I keep a list of what I give everybody every year.
Who's naughty or who's not.
That's determined by who's on top, who's on, you know, so we go through that. And I do look back on what did I give that person, because I really want to think into something to give that's meaningful, that's not repetitious, that reflects a year of growth, a year of interest. And that to me is a game that I play with myself to make the season special, which sounds really materialistic and consumeristic, but Camila's writing her senior paper on consumer psychology, so maybe I'll understand that better after. But those two strengths are really active. My strength of intellection and competition. And yes, it's about gift giving. That sounds so trite. But it's true.
I don't think it's trite. I mean, I think that's how people show love. Can show love.
I love that you keep a... I didn't know this. I love that you keep a list of what
you... It's hidden and you can't get it because it's password protected.
Great. But I would think that sometimes people would keep a list of what they received. And so I love that you... That you are, and you are very others focused. So that really... That really resonates with who you are and how you continue to almost one-up yourself and how you give of yourself and of things to people.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
No, look at that cute couple over there. Melissa, you have the microphone ready.
Oh, yeah. So I think one strength that I have to tone down is... when it's geared towards me is strategic. I'm very practical. So sometimes being the receiver of gifts is hard for me because it doesn't seem practical. And so I have to let that go so that I'm a good receiver. My grandmother was the best gift giver and the worst receiver of gifts. And so that's one thing that I've tried to practice as I've gotten older is letting go of you don't need to spend money on me, like what that kind of thing, and just let go of the strategic and just be present in the moment and be a good receiver of gifts. So that's one thing. The other thing is I love making things meaningful. And so some of my favorite Christmases have been, like, I'll never forget telling the kids that we were going to go to Disney World And that was such a fun Christmas, and it created such anticipation for the future. So it was like the gift that kept on giving, and I love those. I love being able to, what I didn't realize is how much our families have enjoyed traditions that get started. And like, I made cinnamon rolls 1 year for Christmas, and then all of a sudden it was a tradition that I had to keep doing cinnamon rolls. And so there's something about that time of the year that just creates these traditions. But probably my favorite thing was we did a Christmas cookie decorating contest with my side of the family. Mm. We all got 3 cookies, and then we decorated them and posted them on social media and had people vote on which ones were the best. So it really helped the people with competition. They loved it. They were going for it. The creatives had things to do, and the funny ones had things to do. And it was just so much fun, and it's something that we look back on with joy.
That's cool. What's the worst tradition you've accidentally started?
Santa. I'll never forget, my son wanted these Playmobil wildebeest. Yeah. He wanted these so bad. And I finally found them on eBay because they were no longer like being made. Yeah. So I found them on eBay, spent way too much money for these stupid wildebeest. And then Santa got the credit, and I thought, that's so stupid.
Santa's dead to me.
Elf on the shelf.
Yeah. Elf on a shelf is your worst tradition.
Yeah. Thankfully, we're done with
out
it. I fought it for the first 2 kids, and then the third one got me.
Oh.
Everybody's talking about what their elf does, and I just, how come the elf doesn't come to my house? And one time in frustration, I said something really awesome, like, probably because you're too naughty.
That's good.
The elf won't even come here.
You're beyond.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Yeah.
What the elf is.
Yeah.
That's what I read.
Yeah.
Truth hurts.
You're a terrible kid. The elf's not coming.
Yeah. So how's that reflective of your strengths?
No. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
That's not her answer.
I know. It's communication. The strength of communication.
Oh, yeah.
Got my point across today.
Yeah, clear, concise expression.
Clear is kind.
No, that's right. Amy, tell us about your...
Sure. So one of the interesting things that happens anytime I have a lot going on and then become overwhelmed is I find myself doing this. Okay.
We'll be right back.
At Leadership Vision Consulting, we have spent 23 years helping individuals explore the depth and dimension of their personal strengths and have helped hundreds of teams build positive culture. We're excited to now announce our new online membership platform that brings together the resources, community, and motivation that you need to grow your influence and build a positive team culture. Through our courses, workshops, live Q&A sessions, and more, you'll gain the skills and confidence you need to lead effectively. And with our supportive community of like-valued leaders, you'll never feel like you're doing it alone. Visit leadershipvisionconsulting.com/community to learn more.
Okay. And what's funny about this is that my sister does it, and my sister-in-law jokes with us about it as well. But we caught my mom doing it in the kitchen, and she actually, like, was looking from counter to counter. Okay. Because she didn't know where to start. Like,
right.
We have all these people in my house. I have a bunch of food to make, and I don't know which. And so we joke. I've started saying okay, but I haven't started spinning in my kitchen yet. I'm going to make it. I got a list going. And so when I feel and when I hear myself doing that very thing, okay. I know it's time to use my strength of focus and make a list and put it on paper, because then once or in a document or something, so that it's written down, and now I don't have a fear of forgetting it and frustrating someone, disappointing them, and it doesn't have to just keep spinning around in my head, which that's when I feel like I'm become kind of overwhelmed. And so that's my strength of focus, I think, comes into play, whether it's who's bringing what food to the holiday or a list of gifts for, like Brian, I keep a list each year. And part of the reason for that is also consistency, because although we tried for a long time to have everybody open the same number of gifts, we don't really so much that everybody has to, we spend this much on each kid so much, because of course, as you know, that changes as they get older, their gifts get less, the wildebeest have nothing on whatever iPhone accessory that we have to get now, right? So,
right, gaming headphones.
Right, to the game. So we tried to, at least that part of it, I wanted everybody, because we take turns. Mm-hmm. So each person opens a gift. And so so now, as they've gotten older and those change, so, okay, you open two. So we still kind of do this.
You're still trying to make it fair.
In some facet.
Some
like
way.
Okay, that was a really big one. So now you, right. Riley, you can open two now.
Three pairs of socks. Mm-hmm. Yay! One Xbox. It's more.
Right. You got three things. Interestingly enough, Santa gets no credit at my house. Ryan and I work. Mm-hmm. Have always had jobs. And Santa brings what we need. Yeah. And Mom and Dad give you what you want or what you like. Because one time, a long time ago, when the kids were really little, the gal who was, funny enough, doing my hair at the time, was like, oh, Santa gets no credit.
Yeah.
Santa doesn't work. Santa doesn't sacrifice.
Exactly.
So Santa brings what we need.
Yeah.
Santa brings what we need. So my kids' stockings are socks and socks candies, and like something fun and sweet maybe, but not necessarily the big ticket items. Those
Disney World came from Santa.
No. Yeah. And then the other thing that I learned about that in, again, consistency, is that I read an article a few years ago that talked about, please don't have Santa bring your kids really big things, because how come he brings your kids really big things, but he doesn't bring my kids really big things? So in fairness to the children,
super consistent
in the classroom, that Santa. So, you know, again, if we could only all agree. But so I think that plays into my consistency as well. Harmony. Huh. I have two families that I work with, of course, mine and Ryan's. And so we appreciate that those families take turns for specific holidays. Mm. One family has custody sharing, so we need to take that into account and making sure. So just coordinating and being able to communicate all of that and make sure in the end we all get to be together. That's whether fair. It's on the day or not, we're all together to celebrate and to enjoy each other's company. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that sounds like a lot of work.
It is. But
okay,
it's worth it.
It's a lot of strength and consistency.
Okay.
I gotta integrate that Santa thing. But you say Santa does get credit for needs?
We have
Santa brings what you need.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So in your stocking will be things that you more need, or maybe something kind of fun, like often a favorite candy is in there. Mm-hmm. A box of, like a movie box, you know, the bigger boxes of candy.
Yeah.
Santa hooks us up with that. Size. Usually socks.
Thank you, Santa. Yeah.
I just wanted to reevaluate how I use Santa. So I think you gave me the tips. I think Santa brings what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one cares about what I need.
Oh, Santa brings me something.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
See, we don't have any Santa in our house.
Why?
We never... Well, yeah, mostly did not want to start it, and I'm really glad that we didn't. And so we pretend there's a Santa. There's like a guy on our street that actually does... He has a Santa Claus. Like, he goes to malls and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes every year, but the kid knows...
What do you call him then when he comes over?
Well, I mean, oh, it's Santa. Yay, fun. But it's not like this magical mystery...
So Parker's
guy
in school,
elves.
And that hasn't become a challenge.
No, I mean, he...
Do they
like,
call him Santa during the year?
We've explained it. We're like, other families believe that there's a Santa Claus that gives presents, but that's ridiculous and a lie. So we're not going there, but don't ruin it for others. It's kind of the...
If we, this is like a Scrooge podcast.
The moral authority on the holiday.
Quite those languages, that language.
So you're that neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. He got an argument with one of his friends. He's like, Dad... So-and-so said there's a Santa, and I, or not an argument, but he's just like, and I knew there wasn't, but I just played along with him. And I was like, good job, buddy. So, anyway, speaking of kids, I'll go next. So my answer, it's interesting when I think about kind of the role that kids have played in planning the holidays, and how at some point, for all of us, at some point, you know, our parents did all the holiday planning, and then at some point, usually when kids enter the picture, all of a sudden... We're the ones that have to plan the holidays. And so for me, I can really see my strengths of maximizer and adaptability showing up. Since our son was born, so this will be the 8th holiday season, we've hosted both Thanksgiving and Christmas with my in-laws. Sometimes my mom will fly out. And so just juggling all the logistics of the different families, the different dietary needs. But I always want it to be a really fun experience. And so planning you know, like a Thanksgiving 5K in the morning and like doing all of this stuff, but also holding it somewhat loosely with my adaptability to say, none of this is probably going to happen the way I think it is. So dinner's always late, or it's, you know, sleeting and we can't get outside really. And like, I just see basically from almost from November 1st through the first of the year, like my adaptability has to be front and center, just constantly adapt to all of the, I don't want to say whims, but so many different family dynamics and other things like that that come into play. And I don't always do a great job at it, but I feel like I'm getting a little bit better. Last year was actually awesome because we just didn't get together with any family. So it's just like, we're just sitting at home. This is great. It was very, very enjoyable. So,
and that was awesome for your adaptability or?
Oh, I mean, I think, yeah, and my maximizer, because I wasn't necessarily concerned with maximizing 15 people's mm-hmm. holiday experience, just the five immediate ones, which are much easier to please. And don't take much. We just watch that Claus movie, and it's about all we have to do. I'm wondering if anyone wants to make a bigger point, because we do these similar activities a lot with our clients, where we'll pick something topical or somewhat random and ask them to reflect on how their strengths show up in that. Why do we do that? Why is that important? Does anyone want to take a crack at answering this very on the spot question I'm asking you? Because I feel like there's some valuable lessons in this very specific thing that we do.
I think one of the benefits of recognizing that in ourselves, and we talked a little bit about it before we hit record today, was, okay, are we talking about the good things or the bad things? And I think there's benefits in both.
Sure.
But recognizing in when I'm saying, okay, to stop myself before I start spinning,
okay.
Because
sure.
When I get overwhelmed, then I get frustrated, and then nobody's like, I'm not very friendly.
And they're not strengths.
Then. Yes. And my focus comes in and my communication doesn't.
Sure.
And so I think if we can recognize those things in ourselves of, oh, I'm getting overwhelmed for whatever reason, whatever my strength is, this is a degenerative, is a word that we mm-hmm. use in strengths talk too. And at Leadership Vision is, this isn't going to be good. This isn't going to be a happy holiday if I don't yeah. stop this early. So what do I see myself doing in the early stages of whatever? And how can I recognize it, say it out loud, or mm-hmm. recognize it in myself, and then do what I need to do so that I can turn this before sure. it becomes mm-hmm. An unhealthy situation for myself, or just an unpleasant conversation.
Yeah.
You know, before I lose my patience, or before I, you know, I can't adapt anymore because there's just too many dietary needs. So how can I do this?
One of the reasons why I have behavior-based strengths questions is because our lived experience is our best teacher.
Yeah.
And I've been saying that for a while now, but when we pause and we look at our life and we're not able to just see strengths written in a book and memorized on a screen, or you see it in a slide or a report that you get back, when you see it popping up in your own life, that's where you really get the takeaways and either can adapt, put it on the shelf, or turn up the volume on those strengths.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, sharing our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, click the link in the show notes or visit us on the web. Where, Amy?
Oh, leadershipvisionconsulting.com.
Or email us at
connect@leadershipvisionconsulting.com.
Thank you, Amy. I'm Nathan Freeberg.
I'm Melissa Hyatt.
I'm Amy Rollinger.
I'm Linda Shubring.
I'm Brian Shubring.
And on behalf of everyone in this room,
happy holidays!
And thanks for listening.
And thanks for listening.